A couple of weeks ago, I got a distress call from our daughters that the TV signal seemed to have disappeared. We have DirecTV. I don't know if any of you have DirecTV as well, so it's a satellite dish through which we receive the signal. This was in the middle of the summer. I thought it strange, and when I turned on our TV, I found that it was true. The signal had somehow been blocked. It was not coming through properly. Now, this has happened not even a handful of times in the past, but usually because of really heavy rain. In fact, it happened just the other night when the major storm came through, or snow. Well, it wasn't raining, and I was pretty sure there wasn't snow that was built up on our roof. So I ventured out back to take a look as the satellite dish is on the back corner of our roof. And sure enough, I noticed that a vine that had been growing up a bush on the corner of our house had made its way all the way up on the roof and wrapped itself almost entirely around our dish. So, ignoring the advice of some very wise, congregation member, sorry, Jeff, I climbed up on our roof, and I made my way over, and I pulled the weeds off, those vines off of the dish as best as I could. Our children have to watch TV. This is important. And so far, that seems to have been the difference. I got that off, and our signal returned, and we haven't had a problem. Now, I have to go through the process of getting the rest of those vines down off of the holly bush that is about 10 feet tall off the back of our house. I'm not looking forward to that task. I hate weeds. I don't know about you, but I hate weeds, especially when they get in the way of my TV watching. The farmer in Jesus' parable from Matthew 13, I'm pretty sure, did not like weeds either. And if this is the same farmer from a few verses earlier who evidently just scattered seed indiscriminately, then he may not have been a very conscientious farmer anyway. So it should have come as no surprise to his hired hands that some weeds began to grow among the wheat, whether they were put there by an enemy or not. Now, the weeds referred to here in Matthew were one of the curses against which a farmer had to labor. They were a weed called bearded darnel. In their early stages, the weeds so closely resembled the wheat that it was impossible to distinguish one from the other. When both had headed out, it was easy to distinguish them, but by that time, their roots were so intertwined that the weeds could not be pulled out without tearing out the wheat along with them. W.M. Thompson, in his work The Land and the Book, tells how he saw the tares in Wadi Hammam. "The grain is just in the proper stage of development to illustrate the parable," he writes. "In those parts where the grain has headed out, the weeds have done the same, and there a child cannot mistake them, one for wheat or barley. But when both are less developed, the closest scrutiny will often fail to detect them. I cannot do it at all with any confidence," he says. Even the farmers who in this country generally weed their fields do not attempt to separate the one from the other. They would not only mistake good grain for them, but very commonly the roots of the two are so intertwined that it is impossible to separate them without picking up both. Both, therefore, must be left to grow together until the time of harvest. In their early stages, the wheat and the weeds so closely resembled each other that the popular idea was that the weeds were a kind of wheat which had gone wrong. The wheat and weeds could not be safely separated when both were growing, but in the end they had to be separated because the grain of the bearded darnel is slightly poisonous. It causes dizziness and sickness and is narcotic in its effects, and even a small amount of it has a bitter and unpleasant taste. In the end, it was usually separated by hand. Biblical scholar N. Levinson describes the process. Women have to be hired to pick the darnel grain out of the seed, which is to be milled. As a rule, the separation of the darnel from the wheat is done after the threshing. By spreading the grain out on a large tray, which is set before the women, they are able to pick out the darnel, which is a seed similar in shape and size to the wheat, but slate gray in its color. So then, the darnel in its early stages was indistinguishable from the wheat, but in the end it had to be laboriously separated from it, or the consequences were serious. Of course, the story is a parable with a larger meaning and application. It is not simply a lesson in agriculture. And since the disciples rarely seemed to understand what Jesus was saying when he spoke to them in parables, he took the time to explain this one to them. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." Now it is certainly tempting in applying this teaching to our own day to see ourselves sitting here so dutifully on a summer Sunday morning as the wheat, and to imagine that the others, those who never dare to darken the doors of any church on any Sunday, are the weeds. And of course, that would make us feel better, and perhaps even a bit more self-righteous. And we could leave here this morning with our heads held high, having done our duty for the week. But that seems a little too simple and easy of an interpretation, I think. And the Holy Scriptures are rarely that easy to interpret and to apply. I'd say more likely than that, this parable speaks to the messiness of the church itself. Jesus commanded his apostles to make disciples of all nations, to preach the gospel throughout the whole world, and look who showed up to be baptized and to join the church. The fishers of men tossed their nets into the deeper waters and pulled them in, filled with all kinds of fishy people. The guests refused the bridegroom's invitation. So look who showed up when the servants walked the streets looking for guests. You see, the church really is a mess, if you think about it. It's a mess of all kinds of people. But it is God's mess. The Almighty Farmer scattering seeds and letting the weeds grow in with the wheat. Our God is so generous and gracious that when God gets to sowing or inviting or blessing or calling, it seems like God doesn't know when to stop. And in the end, it is not for us to judge where the seed gets scattered and what grows in with what. Because you see, that's God's business. For God is the sower and the reaper. One of the more consistent complaints I hear about the church from outsiders is that it is full of hypocrites and sinners, broken, sometimes unsavory people. That kind of accusation used to offend me, but now I think I take it as a compliment. Because I think that is exactly what God wants. Not that God desires sin and brokenness, but rather God desires people. And people are sinful and broken. You see, the church was never meant to be, nor then should it be, a club for the religious elite. It is, as it is often characterized, more of a hospital for those who are sick with sin. And if that is true, then in this field of the church, we're going to find weeds in with the wheat. Sometimes in the same person. And just as with the bearded darnel, the difference may well be indistinguishable to my eye or to your eye. And so this parable comes as both caution and comfort, warning us to be on our guard for weeds in our midst, in our own heart, and perhaps in the pew next to us. They will look very much like the wheat, so spotting them will be tricky. But then it also reminds us whose job it is ultimately to spot the weeds. Because you see, we're not the farmer in this tale. God is. It is not our job to spot and then get rid of the weeds in our midst, throwing them into the furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God will do that. Perhaps the lesson in this parable is one of understanding and of patience. Understanding our own limitations and abilities, and having patience while awaiting God's perfect timing. I'd like to share with you now a complimentary parable told by noted preacher and seminary professor Barbara Brown Taylor. She writes, "One afternoon in the middle of the growing season, a bunch of farmhands decided to surprise their boss and weed his favorite wheat field. No sooner had they begun to work, however, than they began to argue. First about which of the wheat-looking things were weeds, and then about the rest of the weeds. Did the Queen Anne's lace pose a real threat to the wheat? Or could it stay for decoration? And the blackberries? They would be ripe in just a week or two, but they were, after all, weeds. Or were they? And the honeysuckle? It seemed a shame to pull up anything that smelled so sweet." About the time they had gotten around to debating the purple asters, the boss showed up and ordered them out of his field. Dejected, they did as they were told. Back at the barn, he took their machetes away from them, poured them some lemonade, and made them sit down where they could watch the way the light moved across the field. At first, all they could see were the weeds and what a messy field it was, what a discredit to them and to their profession. But as the summer wore on, they marveled at the profusion of growth. Tall wheat surrounded by tall goldenrod, ragweed, and brown-eyed Susans. The tares and the poison ivy flourished alongside the Cherokee roses and the milkweed, and it was a mess, but a glorious mess. And when it had all bloomed and ripened and gone to seed, then the reapers came. Carefully, gently, expertly, they gathered the wheat and made the rest into bricks for the oven where the bread was baked. And the fire that the weeds made was excellent, and the flour that the wheat made was excellent, and when the harvest was over, the owner called them all together, the farmhands, the reapers, and all the neighbors, and broke bread with them. Bread that was the final distillation of that whole messy, gorgeous, mixed-up field, and they all agreed that it was like no bread any of them had ever tasted before. So yes, there are weeds among this wheat. And we may be tempted to look around and to see if we can pick out which is which. And we may even be tempted to start pulling. But I remind you, that is not our work. That work belongs to God. And I, for one, am grateful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remind you that as we sing our second hymn this morning,